it on your own. Amen. We're going to go ahead and get started. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for this school of ministry. Thank you for the students, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for our apostle. We thank you for apostolic government as we're learning, Lord God, how to flow and function in the supernatural, Lord God, how to honor our men and women of God, and how to, Lord God, be better stewards of what God has entrusted us with, Lord God. We just give you all the praise, Lord God, and all the glory for what you're doing by your Spirit. And I thank you, Lord God, as always. Holy Spirit, I'm expecting you to show up, because if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. I lean completely and totally on you. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin to talk about one of the first areas that Bishop Tudor Bismar addresses in the book. It's right after Jesus finished teaching some of the foundational principles of the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 13, we're going to be looking at verse 53. I'm going to read from my Bible. It says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed hence. And when he was come unto his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Hence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brother James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then had this man all these things?" Verse 57. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." Now, in these verses of scriptures, we see here Jesus went, number one, into his own country. In other words, he went into his own familiar space, his own town, the people that should have known him, that should have respected him because they knew Jesus. He wasn't in unfamiliar territory. He should have been among friends and people that had a respect for him. It says, looking in verse 53, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished, he was teaching on the parables, and then he came into his own country and he taught in the synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished." That word astonished means they were fascinated. And the reason why they were fascinated was because now they're seeing this carpenter's son, the son of a carpenter, preaching the word of God, not only just eloquently, but with power, with boldness, with signs and wonders, following the word that was being preached. And all of a sudden they say, I know him. That's Joseph and Mary's son, you know, the carpenter. You know, we know his brothers and sisters. We grew up together with him. We hung out together. We might have, you know, in this day and age, we would say we played basketball together. We, you know, played hide and go seek together. How is he able to do these things? You know, I don't understand it. You know, I mean, we went to the same schools. We did the same things. What made him so different from us? And the Bible says that they were offended of him. And because of that, Jesus could not do no mighty works. Because of their one translation said, because of their soul unbelief. One of the things I want to stress in this class that's so very important is that you never want to let your man of God become too familiar to you, where it's too common. You know, that's you know, so-and-so's son. You know, I know the family. You know, I know the family tree. I know some of the knucklehead brothers or whatever. But no, Jesus, the Bible says in Acts 10:30 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. When you allow your man of God, our apostle, your pastor, the person that you're sitting under to become too familiar to you, you can't receive properly. One of the things I've noticed in the years of being a member here, being a part of LTMA, is that, and this is just means the scripture says it, because he was in his own hometown and the people that should have known him, they didn't recognize the anointing of God on his life. In the early years, some 20, 22, 23 years ago, when I followed an apostle going to Kenneth Hagin meetings, I recognized even back then that people saw something on apostle that was rare and different. There were times he would be at a restaurant, and there were, I think I might even have shared this maybe last week, I know I've shared it before, where other ministers would just sit around him and just glean from him. I'm talking mighty men of God, you know, and he could be here and you got ministers down the street wouldn't come and support him, wouldn't come to the meetings, wouldn't fellowship with him. Why was this? Because they became too familiar. They in most cases, people from out of town can come to this ministry and receive and go back and get blessed, while the locals, those who live in the area, who have access 24/7, you know, on Sundays, on Wednesdays, school of ministry, but they don't take advantage of it because it seems too common. That is definitely dishonor to its highest degree. When God has placed an anointing in a location, and what God will always do, he will place an anointing in an area to match the needs of that area. You know, if an area, you know, give you an example, this property that we're on used to all be a large plantation. One of the largest plantations in the South is where we have bought all this property, and now we own 600 acres of land. But this plant, there was a plantation. Matter of fact, the plantation house is right down here. You know, one of the largest plantations in the South. But now God has changed that around and rearranged it for his glory, you know. And it couldn't have been nothing but God, you know. But when you let your man of God become too familiar to you, too common, you miss out on the blessing of God. And that's something in this class I'm endeavoring to make sure that everybody understands the importance of honoring. The Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. We're going to look at that, maybe not this session, but that's coming from Corinthians chapter 13, giving honor to whom honor is due. And that's so very important. We're going to look at several things, but I want to key in on this first, because it's so very important that we understand the importance of not allowing a man of God or a woman of God become too familiar with us. Matthew chapter 13, verses 15 through 38 in the Message Bible says, when Jesus finished telling these stories, he left there, returned to his hometown, and gave a lecture in the meeting house. He made a real hit, impressed everybody. We had no idea his breath or his words were so good. They said, how did he get so wise and get such ability? But the next statement, they said, they were cutting him down, dishonoring him. We've known him since he was a kid. He's the carpenter's son. We knew his mother, Mary. We knew his brothers and his sisters. You know, who does he think he is? You know, the Message Bible says they got their noses out of joint. In other words, they turned their noses up to Jesus. You know, and then it goes on to say, but Jesus said a prophet is taken for granted in his own hometown, in his own family. He did not many miracles there because of their hostile indifference. Basically what happens, whenever you dishonor in that degree, you short circuit the power of God from coming into your life. You know, just like we got receptacles, and there's wire behind those receptacles that go to a junction box. if one screw is just loose and there's you can wiggle that wire on that screw, you're going to have a loose connection and you won't get the full transfer of power because the connection is not tight. You know, when you honor a man of God, your connection has to be tight. You know, what I mean by tight is don't let nothing get in between you and that connection. Don't let nothing come in your way between you and your man of God, your pastor. You know, I know we got people online who you know, have submitted to their pastor or whoever you're under, but you can't let nothing get between you and your man of God because God has placed apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, as we know, for the edifying of the body of Christ, you know, but mainly apostles and prophets. I didn't talk about this last week, but they basically are the pillars and the foundational anointings in the church, you know, especially the apostle, because they have what is known as a heaven to earth connection where God speaks to them and they bring heaven down to earth. They have a vertical connection with God, where they hear from God and God gives them direction and insight and revelation. And they now take that and have a horizontal relationship with the body of Christ, where now they're sharing what God has placed on their heart. You know, one of the things apostle, you know, I was sometimes he'll say I was on the porch and the Lord gave me this or the Lord told me this, and he's immediately sharing it with us. You know, climbing Jacob's ladder, you know, the angels ascending and descending. They're bringing information down to the man of God as he prays and seeks God, you know. And so that's why it's so important to not become familiar, too familiar. Matter of fact, it's better. You know, sometimes people want to be buddy-buddy. I don't want to be buddy-buddy with my apostle or my pastor because there is a reverence and a respect that we have to maintain. You know, I mentioned last week about the military, you know, different ranks, different levels, you know, and in the spirit realm, there's different anointings. And it's so very important that we understand rank protocol. You know, I stated last week, you never want to go before a man of God empty handed. You know, I have to make a conscious effort to make sure that I have extra change in my pocket. Because even though I sow my seed every Sunday, every Wednesday, you never know, apostle may pop up. And just having a seed sowing into the anointing is sowing a seed of honor. Amen? All right, let me move on. Let me go ahead and give you a definition of honor. And this definition is coming straight from the book. Okay, honor comes from the Anglo-French word honneur, O-N-U-R. The word connotates elevation. In other words, different elevations. Someone who's in honor, they're a higher elevation. It comes from the Latin word honus, H-O-N-O-S. That means honor. Okay, honor, first honor is one who has high esteem, high public esteem. Somebody who's very influential in a community or a setting or a surrounding or community or territory. They are people or individuals with high reputation. You know, a person who has honor has high reputation. They're highly esteemed. Secondly, these are individuals that have notoriety and recognition. Notoriety. I mean, with, you know, somebody who has notoriety, their persons, or, you know, their presence speaks for himself. When a person has notoriety, everybody know about them because they're well known, you know, they're not just local. We have a worldwide ministry here. I remember when it was just a local ministry, and I remember the very day Apostle ministered for Kenneth Hagin at that evening service on a Tuesday. I was there. And the next day, I never forget, we were walking down the corridor and I met Apostle. And I looked at him, I said, Apostle, I said, the ministry from this day forth is going to never be the same. You know, and because it was almost like that was an introduction of what God was going to do, you know, because nobody knew him. But all of a sudden, and nobody had never up to that day brought money on the altar. You know, that was the first time in my lifetime I'd ever seen people without being instructed sow into a man of God by putting money on the altar. You know, so it was historic. But that was, to me, that was like God is introducing our man of God, and his ministry is being, you know, fortified, what God is going to do. But anyway, that's notoriety. You know, people know about you. You just didn't start yesterday. A person who has notoriety, they have some experience and some years of backup of what they do. It's a proven track record. When you have notoriety, you have a proven track record. Amen. Let's move on. Thirdly, these are individuals that have certain privileges conferred upon them in lieu of their anointings, their gifting, and their ranks. They have privileges bestowed upon them. You know, God has graced them and blessed them to be able to have a greater audience, a greater span, a greater outreach. They're privileged because of their dedication and their years of discipline and study and their years of seeking God. Amen. Why do you think whenever you go into a courtroom, they always stand up and they say, "Your Honor"? That's not so much a title for the judge, but they're recognizing him and they're giving honor to him. They're saying, "Your Honor, we honor you because you are you come up through the ranks. You are a lawyer. You've proven yourself as a trial lawyer or as a litigation lawyer, and you had to go through a process before you become a judge. You just don't automatically just become a judge. You know, just like Apostle said, people just don't automatically walk into an apostleship. There's a process that has to take place. And because of that, there's an honor that is bestowed on people because of their reaching certain ranks in ministry or in life. Amen. It also condemnates integrity. There is an individual that through their acquired skills, high levels of performance, and dedication to their occupation or calling are guaranteed the highest level of notoriety, respect, and honor. You know, all of these definitions is talking about honor. And I want to make sure in this class that we know how to honor properly, that we give honor to whom honor is due. Because by doing that, it opens the door now, not only for you to be honored, but for God now to begin to, because as I stated last week, one of the things you're going to find out about me, I'm a repeater. I'll say something. So I may start a story one Monday night. I might hit on a little bit. Then 2 weeks later, I may pick up at where I left off and finish it. So you got to kind of follow me from week to week, because sometimes I'll just take off and just, you know, go off in a different area. But I stated last week that the anointing of God always starts from the top and it flows down. You know, the Bible talks about in Psalms 133 about the anointing oil that was on Aaron's head that went down his beard, went to his skirt, went all the way down. And you know, we want the anointing. We want the manna. We want what's on our man of God. You know, God poured that anointing. He poured that mantle and that anointing upon his life. And when you position yourself properly, you know, not everybody is going to be the head. Not everybody is going to be the neck or the shoulders. We might be a finger, you know, or you might be a toenail. But when you find your place, and see, that's the beauty of the body of Christ. The Bible says that it's what we consider the feeble members are more needful. You know, give you an example. If you cut your little toe off, which you might consider that insignificant, but you done lost your balance. You know, you have completely lost. You can't walk straight without that. But it's a small, just like the Bible talks about the rudder on a ship. You know, it's a little thing, but it'll direct that ship in whatever direction. You know, just one of the smallest pieces of that ship has such a strong importance. You know, so never devalue where God has placed you in the body of Christ. You know, God blesses us with gifts, talents, and abilities. And when we begin to walk by honoring God with whatever he's called us to do, you know, Bible says, don't look to the north or the south or the east or the west for promotion. Promotion is going to come from God. So you honor God where you at, whatever God has blessed you and graced you with. And then God will promote you. And Bible says your gift will bring you before good or before great men by just honoring God with what God has given you. Amen. All right. We're going to leave that point. Last week, I talked a little bit about an apostolic source. A source meaning something that you get a supply from. The author talks about the word life source. And God said, you know, there's even an apostolic source where you get a greater supply because God has graced our man of God with an abundance of revelation, an abundance of wisdom. But because the author deals with the word apostolic source, we're gonna talk along those lines. An apostolic source is a being or an entity that is a giver or an originator of life, a releaser of life, in direct reference to the work, a life source, and that originator of life. Give me an example. Originator means somebody who starts something. A mother and a father who gives birth to a child, they are life sources. And as they nurture that child to become an adult, they have given life and instruction. You know, a spiritual father who through the word of God, through the anointing of God, instructs and nurtures young ministers to be men of God, you know. He's teaching them and he's molding them and shaping them to be what God and help equipping them to be what God wants them to be. That's a giver of life. And the Bible says that every life source is to be honored. Every life source. Because, see, God is life. And he's the author of life. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you have it more abundantly. And so the author talks about life sources. It could be a physical father or a mother, a spiritual father giving life to, you know, a founder of a ministry who starts a ministry, you know, pastor, a pastoral gift, you know, a heads of a nation, even in circular, you know, people who are put in positions of authority, you know, a mayor of a city, a judge, you know, a president, you know, if they give life and if they produce life, because God is, you know, going back to what I shared last week, Genesis 8 and 22, you know, as the earth remained, see, we're living in a seed system. And when you sow life, you're sowing a seed, you know, and anybody who's nurturing life, the author says that they need to be honored, you know. One of the key elements that I had to, I'm still learning, is that, you know, honoring your mother and father. The Bible says that's the first commandment with promise, and that it might be well with thee, and that you might live long upon the earth. Because they gave us life. And when we now honor them, especially in their older years, well, then what that is doing is it's setting you up for long life. You know, when you try to make, you know, your parents comfortable, you know, right now, my mom's 84. She don't have to pay any bills. OK, I have it set up where all her bills are paid automatically. You know, she don't have to think about when it's time to take her medication. I have things set up in the house that sends her reminders. It's time to take your medicine, Miss Calhoun. You know, Mr. Calhoun, it's time to charge your phone. Just whatever she needs. Why? To make her life comfortable. To make her life comfortable. Whatever it takes. You know, and when we do that, we honor. See, when you honor to that degree, to where you're waiting on somebody hand and foot, you can't help but be on it, because the life-giving source that's in them now comes on you. And you're able to take the baton or take whatever it is that God has graced them with that now is on you to take it further. And that's so very important. I'm going to give you an illustration. I, coming up, always did like photography, always did like videography. In fact, I used to do wedding videos, do stills, and I even had my own darkroom. When I was in college, I took a photography class, a darkroom class. I never really initially passed it on to my son. You know, we never really talked about it. But just him honoring me as a son, doing what he, you know, I required of him, all of a sudden now, his interest in something that I was interested in, he took what I started and took it to another level. Well, now he's making commercials, making films. Matter of fact, he's actually even won an Emmy for a commercial that he's done, you know, taking it to another level, you know. Why? Because when you talk about, you know, a gift that somebody has or a desire or, you know, a talent, you know, your parents, your mother may have been a seamstress, and you say, well, I don't want to do that. That you might be the next Ralph Lauren, or you know, or whatever, you know, fashion designer, because you now have taken something that they nurtured and they pass it on to you, and you take it to another level because you honor them, and that's so very important. And that's what honor will do for you. Amen. All right, my time is drifting. It is required by God that we respect and honor every life source. It's required by God. God is life, and he's the giver of life, and he gives life legitimately to all those who are eligible to be carriers or custodians of life. You know, so we are to honor every life source. All right. Another thing I'm going to point out again, as I said, I'm a repeater. Last week I made the illustration. I said that the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. There's no greater seed that you can sow. When you sow an honor seed, it's going to produce the greatest level of harvest than any other seed. So an honor seed is when you sow something because you honor somebody and you respect the God factor that's on the inside of them, or the God life forces on the inside. The Bible talks about not to muzzle the ox that threaded out the corn. You know, if you were a farmer and you had an ox or a donkey or whatever, you're going to take care of that donkey because that donkey produces your livelihood. You know, you're going to make sure that he's well fed, that he's got, you know, whatever shots he need or whatever, you know, because back during the days when farmers, and that was how people made their living, you know, if the donkey or the horse went got sick, you couldn't plow the field. You couldn't take the wagon, take your produces to the market. So you're gonna watch over and protect something that's valuable to you. No different than the spiritual things. When somebody is feeding you and putting the word of God and the anointing of God is dripping off of them, because they're sowing unto us spiritual things, it's of necessity that we sow unto them our carnal things, because it's called the law of reciprocation. A reciprocal is when you flip something. They're giving out, we're giving in, you know, but at the same time, you're receiving so much more. You know, I tell people you can't receive thoroughly if you hadn't sowed a seed, because you hadn't made the proper connection. I'm going to say that again. You can't receive thoroughly if you don't sow a seed, because you hadn't. You know, you go to a grocery store and you see something, or you go to a Best Buy and you see a stereo, some speakers, or, you know, a TV and you say, I want this. And you walk out the door with that without paying for it. You know what's going to happen. You know, you're stealing, you know. And people say, but we're talking about the anointing here. You can't buy it. You really can't. But what you're doing is this is the way I tell people. You're, Lord, help me to say this just right. Your money represents your time, your sweat, your energy. It's your livelihood. When you take out a bill, that represents something that I worked for. So it's precious to you. But at the same time, the anointing and the word and the revelation that you're receiving is even more precious to you. So you're making an exchange. And by making that exchange, you not only get more revelation, more information, but God now is able to keep your storehouses full. You know, I can say this without reservation. You know, I thank God that I have a full supply. And I'm not saying that in faith. I'm saying that literally. God has blessed my wife and I because of seeds that's been sown over the years. You know, it amazes me sometimes, you know, but I know it's nothing that I did. It's nothing that the job did, but it's everything that the seed did and honoring did and serving did made the difference. Amen. Let me move on because my time is moving rapidly. Let me give you an illustration of just simple honor. It even happened today. Apostle, you know, he was talking to somebody, even though it was privately, but nobody left the auditorium because his presence was still there. You never know when Apostle is ministering. You know, I mean, I'm using him as an illustration because he's the best example I could use, you know, period. But you never know. You see, on a Sunday service, a lot of times people, when you know people are just doing their duty, when the service is over, I got to go. I got things to do. I got food waiting on me. You know, the Saints playing today. You know, I mean, that I did my duty. I came to church. You know, what else? You know, you're going to get your reward. You know, but, you know, if the apostle is still out, one word from God can change your life. Just one word that he might say. He might just walk by you and just touch you. And all of a sudden, whatever was burdening you, whatever was you're dealing with, is gone. Because that anointing, the Bible says, the anointing of God is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. And the more you can stay in that presence, the more you can get saturated by that anointing. And the Bible says that when the Spirit of the Lord came upon, who was it, Lord? Samuel. The Bible says Saul. Saul was turned into another man. When the anointing of God came upon him, he was literally turned, even though people see you, but they don't just, you know, that's what happened with Jesus when he came into his own country and he preached in the synagogue. He was turned into another man. That's why they couldn't recognize it, because the anointing of God was on his life. And see, that's what we want. We want that anointing on our lives. One of the things Apostle says, the reason why this school is in existence, so that the students can see the anointing of God when it comes upon him, and they can learn how to flow in that anointing and how to allow the Spirit of God to use them. You know, in prison ministry, one of the things I instruct the prison ministers, I say, yep, you know, have your scriptures, but be sensitive and learn how to yield to the Spirit of God. God may turn you in a different direction from what your notes might be saying. But listen, you know, always operate as a barefooted priest. You know, when the priest would go into the temple, he had bells on his ears and on his feet and on his garments, and they had a rope tied on his leg. So if he messed up and fell down there, they can pull him out because nobody wasn't going in there to get him. You know, but he had to be very careful. Every step had to be coordinated. When he was going through his, you know, whatever rituals he was doing, he had to make sure he did everything. First of all, he had to make sure that he offered up an animal and a sacrifice, that he was clean, that he ain't had no sin on it. Because if he had sin in the presence of God, that he would be dead. You know, so you always, even though we're in grace now, and I thank God for that, but you still want to be still and know that he's God and operate it when you're ministering. Operate as a barefooted priest. Lord, I don't want to say nothing. I don't want to go in any direction. You don't want me to go. And sometimes after so long, the Lord said, that's enough. And I just, like, that's all I got. Not that that's all I got, but that's all that the Lord wanted me to say. And I'll just shut up because, you know, you may have gotten over the point that God wanted you to get over. And by doing that, God can use you and you can be a blessing to the body of Christ. Let me move on. Anytime you, listen to this, anytime you have dishonor displayed, And I kind of shared this earlier. It inhibits, short circuits, restrains, and blocks the supernatural, the blessing of God, from flowing down into your life. Anytime dishonor is displayed, it's gonna inhibit. Inhibit means it's gonna slow it up. It's gonna almost bring it to a screeching halt. It's gonna short circuit. We talked about short circuit. It's gonna block it. You know, it's gonna block the supernatural and the blessings of God from flowing down to your life. So you don't want to walk in dishonor, because it'll keep you from walking in what God wants you to walk in. That's because the people dishonored Jesus, the prophetic gift, the apostolic gift. When Jesus said a prophet is without honor save in his own country, he was literally saying that familiarity in many instances breeds dishonor and discontent. It breeds it. You know, being too familiar with your man of God, we talked about that earlier, it'll breed dishonor and discontent. So you never want to become too familiar to where I heard that, I know that. No, everything needs to be fresh from the throne room of God, you know? And that's why I like what the psalmist David said, Lord, search me, know my heart, know my thoughts. And if there be any wicked way in me, Lord God, lead me in the way of everlasting. In other words, Lord, you know, I want to make sure that my heart's pure today to receive, you know. Matter of fact, a lot of times, I don't even like to be disturbed in the service. You know, sometimes my wife may nudge me about something. I just kind of look at it like, you know, I don't want, you know, matter of fact, I got a text today. I got a text while Apostle was ministering. Another Master Life Bearer had texted me, you know, give me a call. And I text back, I'm in Apostle's class. Is this important? ? You know, and they say, oh, I'm sorry. It can wait, you know. And so, but because I, you know what I'm saying, I know I have a responsibility as a Master Life Bearer, but I'm kind of like Mary and Martha. Some things is more needful. You know, what I was doing at the time was just more needful, you know. And one of the things I learned from Apostle, there's no emergencies in the spirit, you know. I mean, he said it today. He wants to train us to the point where we can stand on our own two feet. We don't have to be running to him for everything. You know, you stand on the word. And matter of fact, today at work, I was walking down the administrative building, and one of the accountants who does the accounting for the company, she saw me and said, hey, Greg, how you doing? And she's about to retire. And she knows I'm getting close. And she said, you still? I said, yeah, I'm still thinking about it. And she said, come to my office. And she came and then she said, I got something I want to tell you. And then she began, and she closed the door, and then she started sharing a situation about her life. And something that was really bothering her, you know, where custody of a grandkid was involved, and how, you know, she may have to take care of the grandkid, but now the outlaws are trying to take the grandkid. I call them outlaws, the in-laws, but you know what I mean. You know, and not give her custody. And I said, you know, this was just a divine setup. I said, let's pray. And I said, we're going to come against this right now. You know, being an agent of change. And I walked away from there, and I went back to my truck, and I'm saying, ooh, I mean, it took me a while to get back to myself, because what she said gripped me. But, you know, how can I say this? Getting back to being a barefooted priest, you know, I really didn't know why I was in that building. I went through there, and, you know, she saw me, and then next thing, you know, we talked for about 25, 30 minutes, but we dealt with that thing. You know, and she's never come to me and asked for me for prayer. But, you know, people know, they know by your lifestyle that there's something different about you. You know, I mean, she didn't hold her tongue about it. She says, I'm believing God. I say, I'm in agreement with you. We're going to stand on this scripture. We're going to deal with this thing. And it's you know, you're going to get the custody that you need. Amen. All right. I got 42 seconds. A life source, I'm going to read this one more time. A life source is anybody or anyone God sent into your life who nourishes life, an originator of life, physical or spiritual, a giver or releaser of God's life, because God is life. And they are nourishing God's government, which brings life, you know, because we're living in the apostolic government, and it brings life. They are life sources, and they deserve honor. You know, so anybody that nourishes and who's an originator of life, that they are to be honored. Amen. Our apostle, pastors and prophets and evangelists and teachers need to be honored because they are life sources. Amen. See you next week.